Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Come on, let's give it up for Jesus, for the Lord. Let's give it up for your pastors, Pastor Spencer and Madison. We honor you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Always a blessing to be in this house. I've been here a few times and always consider it home and an honor to preach anywhere. But I especially love preaching where I'm family, where most people know me, and at least I'm the favorite Cody in the house. So she's got to clarify because sometimes, you know, other brother-in-laws get offended when she doesn't clarify it's Cody. Like favorite Cody, not just brother-in-law, even though we know that it might just be the favorite. I don't know. So would y'all agree with me this morning? They are a crowd participation this morning. All right. Well, I'm excited to preach the Word of God this morning. Give honor where honor is due, Pastor Spencer, for reaching out to me. He's not here, but your pastor is obviously ministering here in Fort Payne, which is amazing just to see that this community is sharing pulpits, which is awesome. That's the body of Christ. Whenever Jesus told the fishermen, told his disciples to go launch out to the deep and cast your nets, they caught the fish, and they had so much fish that they had to share space with one another. And that's what the kingdom of God is about, is sharing space, sharing hearts, sharing vision, sharing the preached word of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our communities. Amen. You're blessed to be in this house. Are you blessed to be in the house of God this morning? Pastor Madison has already given some intro, so don't have to go too deep on it. But my wife, Micah, and I, we have three children, River, Ivy, and Shepherd. They are 7, 5, and 3. And we are youth pastors at the Well Scottsboro. I got saved and grew up in that house from age 15 to now, 15 years ago. And so honored just to be a part of what God is doing in the region of Northeast Alabama. Amen. And well, I'm excited this morning about the word because I didn't come in questioning that, you know, what I was speaking was what God wanted, but you sometimes just love seeing God saying, hey, this is where we are headed. And I believe this morning that you have already been spoken to on the subject of God being your provider. And guess what? You're about to hear a sermon of God being who? Your provider this morning. And I'm excited. You go down the list. We have the first song of it saying, I call you Jesus. I call you healer. Making a statement of who God is. Proclaiming who he is. That's what church is. It's proclaiming who God is, saying what he's done, saying what we're believing for him to do, and him pouring out that attribute and that part of who he is to his church. I call you these things. The second song, I know the Lord will provide, and my God is not empty-handed. I love that. I love that. My God, your God's not empty-handed this morning. Your God wasn't empty-handed when he created the foundations of the earth. Your God wasn't empty-handed when he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. Your God is not empty-handed when you hear a testimony of provision coming to someone. Your God's not empty-handed. But guess what? Just because he's not empty-handed doesn't mean we should have a closed-off hand. God may tell you to empty your hands, but he'll never leave you empty-handed. How can a preoccupied or closed off vessel receive anything from a God that pours out? That's your God. God is pouring out today. Say today, not yesterday, not just tomorrow. Right now, God is your provider today. And you might be saying, I don't need to hear a message on provision. We are pretty comfortable right now. We are doing pretty good. God has blessed us. Are you blessed by God? Yeah, amen. All of us are blessed by God. We're breathing. That's the ultimate blessing. But you might say, oh, well, do I really need to hear this again? And the only reason God would speak something to you today, even if you might not need it today in your eyes, is because you can look back on your past where you might have missed it. And he might want to remind you today that, hey, I was your provider then. And if you're like, okay, yeah, awesome, cool. We got the past down. And right now, God is really blessing us in all aspects of life. Well, he might just be fueling your tank for the road tomorrow. So this morning, God wants to speak to each of us today about him, simply this being our personal provider. Amen. You can turn to your Bibles to Matthew 14. I'm not going to quite go there yet. I'm going to speak a little bit on just simply that, God being a provider, God being one who is here with us. I was going to name the title, Your Provider, and it's not going to be that. We'll go over that in a minute. But Your Provider, I was in worship and I saw this. I saw Your Provider three different ways. Is this, you are either here this morning saying, oh yeah, he's your provider. Oh, he's their provider. Oh, I believe it for the pastor. I believe it for the one with testimony. I believe it for the ones that lived the word and lived in the word of God. I believe it. He's your provider. And this morning, God wants you to get to the next place of not only is he their provider, he is your provider. Personal revelation. And not only that, it goes from your provider. Oh, he's them. Oh, but then he's got me covered to then where we can all say corporately that your provider, you are provider. Because if we receive the blessing of God, gladly, who in here loves receiving gifts? Love receiving gifts. I love gifts. I love gifts. I'll say it again. I love gifts. Thank you. I'll give you my address later. No. Cash App, Venmo. No. No, we all love receiving gifts, but it's sometimes very hard and awkward for some reason to say thank you. What Pastor Greg has said this in Scottsboro, what good is a gift if it ceases to be a gift? When God gives us a gift, we should give that gift back to him and honor him with it. So we proclaim, oh, he's my provider, but what are you doing with that provision that you're receiving? Are you receiving it and hoarding it, or are you releasing it with open hands back to the one that did not keep his hands closed off to you and me? Your provider. He's your provider. We need to realize that this morning, the message on provision is not restricted to financial blessing or breakthrough. The ultimate provision is the forgiveness of sins through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I would rather pass through the pearly gates of heaven broke with salvation than cross the threshold of the rusty gates of hell rich and bountiful in this life. That proves to me that provision that we talk about in church is not just, oh, financial blessing, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Yes, God wants to bless you in every aspect of your life, but not at the expense of us not going to heaven. Because what good is it if a man gains the whole world, but yet loses what? His soul. So that tells me God blessing us, yes, it hits the body. It hits the natural. But God's priority of spiritual blessing and us coming to a divine revelation and understanding of him being our provider personally, first and foremost, must hit the area of our spirit man. God's priority in blessing us with him being a provider is spirit, soul, and then body. Don't get it confused, because when we live in the natural, we get so caught up in what we need naturally. Oh, cool. God gave me the money to pay a bill, but my soul was still in turmoil. Oh, the mountain in front of me. See, many times we pray about our external situation and never approach God with the inward conflict that's in our soul. Because the outward mountain may be removed, but what if there's an inward mountain of doubt still within us? Oh, we might try to speak and prophesy to the wind in ways that are crashing against us, and that they might be still. But what if inside of us we are flooded with emotions that are unstable? That proves to me God is more concerned about what's happening inside than what is outside. And you proved it this morning. You are here. What, it's raining outside. The storm gives proof that you are hungry for God. You're still here. You didn't get wet because you were in a car that was designed to ride in the storm. You didn't lay in bed and think, oh, it's raining. I just, it's not worth it. No, you said, it doesn't matter. I'm prepared for the storm ahead. I'm prepared for what's ahead because there was provision already made for you to walk in it. This morning, you need to realize God wants to bless you with every aspect of blessing, spirit, soul, and body. You need to realize you're not connected to a source that sometimes flows. You're connected to a source that flows sufficiently. God doesn't change his name when he feels like it. Yeah. Did you know this? God is not changing a name tag based off your prayer request. God is not changing who he is based off the need that's here on earth. Yeah. God is who he is all the time. Yeah. Every moment. Every second. God is not scrambling in heaven trying to find the hat of provision when that person needed healing. He said, oh, let me take off the hat of the healer and put on the hat. Hey, Gabriel, can you go in the back closet in my throne room and find me the hat and name tag that says provider? Because I'm getting a lot of prayer requests hitting my desk that they need provision. So I need to change who I am based off their circumstance. That's not how our God works. God is all of the things that we claim him to be. He is healer and provider at the same time. He's Prince of Peace, and he never stopped being that. So quit thinking that your prayer request changes God's position. No, it doesn't. It puts you in position in divine alignment with who he has always been. Who he has always been. I have zero authority of changing who God is, but I have every opportunity to get in alignment with who he is. We must make a choice today that we can be totally convinced that he is our provider, putting us in divine alignment with him. You know, in order to be totally convinced of God being a provider, we must recognize the need for a provider. So before we dive into this, I want you to ask yourselves, and I would venture to say the best person to ask would be the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, what areas are you lacking? What areas are you lacking? If it goes to the natural, hey, God's not afraid of that. He's made some provision in the natural for me that I can't explain. My hands could only go so far, and his hands met me where I was. Your hands need to be faithful and steward, and being a steward, absolutely. But many times, we use our hands to pursue things that leave us empty and void. God this morning looks at your very specific need before you even ask. But are you asking? Are you opening up your mouth? Or are you just looking at it and it's causing defeat? You must be willing to be open and vulnerable that you are in need of a provider. And his name is Jesus. He must be your provider, your God. He's not just a God that provides. He's the God that provides. You know, you need to realize you don't just need to read the Bible and say, oh, he's that God of our ancestors, of the Bible stories, of my pastor, of the church. No, he is your God right now. He is your provider right now. Amen. All right, you can turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. We're going to read verse 13, and we're going to pause there to give some context of the passage. Matthew 14, verse 13, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote place to be alone. So what news? What news did Jesus hear to all of a sudden desire to be alone in a solitude place? What news did God in the flesh hear that caused him to think, I really need some time alone? Have you ever just needed some time alone? Have you ever wanted to just silence all the voices, even your own? Silence all of the negativity, even your own, and get alone and process some things. We have Jesus, who is God in the flesh, needing to process some things going on. What did he need to process? Do you know John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the one that would prepare a way for Jesus. He was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist was the one that looked at Jesus and released his disciples to him, trusting him and saying, hey, he is the one that must increase. And I, even though I've done all of these great things, must decrease. Jesus was the one that looked at John the Baptist and said, there's none been greater that has been born of woman. He is the greatest prophet that has been born. John the Baptist is a very important figure in the New Testament, from Old Testament to New Testament. He prepared the way, preaching the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist is pretty important. Not only is he pretty important, he is a relative of Jesus Christ himself. He is a cousin of Jesus. John the Baptist has a place in Jesus' heart that some may not touch in the natural. So what happens? John the Baptist is in prison for making accusations and calling out sin. And he's in prison. And all of a sudden, I don't have to give all the story, but he at the request of a little girl to Herod, he gets beheaded. We're just going to cut the chase. The dude's head gets cut off. Like, this chapter 14, the same chapter, verses before, this happens. So what do I say? It says, as soon as Jesus heard the news. What news? That John the Baptist, the man that prepared the way for Jesus' ministry to be laid properly and a foundation laid and a road made straight so he could preach the gospel and live out what we know Jesus lived out. That man, Jesus' cousin, just had his head cut off. So what news? Jesus was faced with the loss of a loved one. So Jesus, rightly so, wanted to get some time alone. Wanted to get some time alone. So I have to give that as a basis of you knowing, because we just read, the feeding of the 5,000, what we're about to dive into. No, we need to understand the context of the whole scenario that's going on around Jesus. So Jesus heard the news. He left in a boat to a remote place to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Isn't that Jesus? It could have easily said, and we would have been totally fine with it, like in our own natural, but obviously he's the Son of God, so we hold him to a perfect standard, right? Rightly so. But to most of us in this situation, we would have departed in a boat or our car or got an Uber or a plane to go get some alone time after losing our most valued cousin that has advanced the kingdom with us. And to us, it would have been this. We step out, we see a huge crowd, we saw them, and we started to complain. But Jesus didn't complain, he had compassion. He had compassion. You have to understand the character of your provider. The character of your provider is this: he's consistently compassionate towards you and me. He's consistently compassionate towards you and me. Many of us would think that, he's just too busy to think about my little need. In this scenario, proves to me, even in the natural, Jesus being confined by flesh and bone was still concerned about the need at hand, not just the need within him. Out of all the people that pray to God and all the people that have needs and all the people that God provides for and all the people that God is extending his helping hand to, he still looks to you specifically and individually. He says, that's the one I'm going to provide for. God's not a corporate provider. He's an individual provider. He's concerned and cares about you specifically. So he has compassion on them and he healed their sick. Verse 15, it says, that evening the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that is not necessary. You feed them. What a task, right? It says, but we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. This is what I want to get to. Jesus said this, simple yet bold and frightening to the disciples' statement. He said, bring them here. Bring them here. This morning, we're going to talk about you bringing it to God. Today, the sermon title, bring them here. The very words of Jesus Christ himself. Bring them here. Bring them here. You must bring it to God. We pray private prayers expecting public answers. Think about it. Yes, prayer needs to be in private. Jesus said, I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. Prayer needs to be behind a closed door, not letting the left know what the right's doing and not praying to parade yourselves. No, but I'm talking about, I'll just inwardly just like, God knows my need. I'll just inwardly process it. Prayer is not inward process. That's called meditation. And God can hear your thought from afar off, but he also gave you a tongue to speak. Are you verbally being honest and real with God of what you have need of? We pray little inward prayers expecting magnificent answers outwardly. Yeah. No, the people in the Bible that I see that got touched by God raised their voice. Yeah. They lifted their voice. Yeah. They disrupted the crowd. Yeah. They were blind and they said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah. But I'm blind. I can't see. Exactly. And you're a prime candidate to have your eyes opened. You're a prime candidate to have a miracle now because you're blind. Flip the script and stop saying, this and that. No, that means it's a good thing because now God can be your provider. So in this scenario, Jesus is saying, bring them here. We have 5 different things in this story that is going to give us an understanding of what many times we do to not pray about the need that's at hand, but rather give excuses. 5 things. 5 reasons, because the goal of this message is for every single one of us, seasoned Christian, know God as our provider, We have no clue what's going on right now. Everybody in this room, I pray that these words in the Bible are encouraging to you, that you're totally convinced that God is your personal provider, spirit, soul, and body. But we have to go through the storm first. There's five reasons that you will doubt God as your provider, or at least not go to him for provision. And we can find it in this story. The first one, we've already covered it. God's just overwhelmed right now with so many other prayer requests. God's just overwhelmed with other things that he's managing and all the... Did you know that God is omnipresent? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And we are invited in relationship with that same very God. Not a kind of a light kiln. No, the God that created the heaven and the earth knows you by name. And he's not too busy managing other people's problems to be considerate and caring towards your problem. He knows you. And not only does he know you, he wants you to know that he's with you right now. Not just one day in heaven. Like, what kind of gospel would that be? If, oh yeah, believe in Jesus and one day you'll actually get to know who he is. Absolutely not. If you don't know him here on earth, how do you expect to get in his house? Because Jesus said one of the most terrifying statements. Many will come to me in that day. And they'll knock on that door and say, God, hey, you know us. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Oh, they knew the name of Jesus and knew the power and authority, and they were actually used by the gospel. And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. No, the goal is not to just know God in heaven one day. The goal is to know God and God to know you this day. This day. God is not your provider just in heaven one day. God is your provider now, because you will have no need of provision then. God is not just your healer in heaven one day. Yes, some people, and I can't explain why, it's even in the Bible, there's things, people don't get healed on this side of eternity. And guess what? They're not hurting in heaven. Praise God. At some point in some place, God will heal. Absolutely. At some point in some place, God will provide. But why not trust and believe and have the faith that he can do it this day? This day. So the first one reason that you would think, oh, God isn't concerned about me is he's overwhelmed. John the Baptist just died. He wants to be alone. I'm not going to bother him. But the crowds pressed through and grabbed the attention of Jesus and pulled out the deep compassion of God. You can literally, it's crazy. Your need draws his compassion. Your conflict pulls his compassion. Otherwise, his compassion wouldn't be needed. Anytime we see in scripture that Jesus was moved in compassion, it's because there was a problem at hand. You serve a compassionate God, and you live in a world full of problems. What greater storm than that, than for a miracle to happen? So the first one, he must be overwhelmed. The second one is this. It's a remote place. So these next three, so that one would be, the where is bad. Like, where I am in life, the location even physically, or where I'm at spiritually, does not deserve that God would provide for me. It's a deserted place. It said, this is a remote place, so what can God do with this? I feel dry. I feel empty. I feel void. I don't think I deserve it because I'm not in a good place. The where did not line up with the miracle that was needed at hand. The where was bad. We're going to go through these quickly and get somewhere. So the where is bad, but then also this, the when is bad. The hour is late. The hour is late. We're in a deserted place. And not only that, the hour's late. So the where is bad, but not only the when is bad. Like, there's no bad timing in the kingdom of God for him to provide a miracle. The things don't have to line up properly on earth for God to move from heaven. No. Matter of fact, the more crazy things are on earth, the more it gives him room to come in and step in perfectly. Yeah. It doesn't give excuse for you to live a chaotic life. Absolutely not. Doesn't give excuse for you to sin. No, it doesn't. No justification in that. But we would have no need of Jesus to come down on earth if the earth wasn't full of sin. Yeah. You have no need of God being a provider on earth if in earth there's a lack. So be okay with the lack, because that's where God can move. That's where God wants to move on your behalf. So the where is bad, the when is bad. Fourth one, it keeps going. The who is bad. The crowd. There's too many of them. Like, the hour's late. Well, Jesus is cousin just died, the hour's late, the wear is bad, it's the desolate place, and there's too many people. What could God do with this? All these things. Then you go down, there's even another one. Number five, the what is bad. The what is bad. What is the what? They say, what is it among so many? The five loaves and two fish. So you have all of these things hindering them to have faith in Jesus. All of these things gave them reasons to doubt that Jesus was who he said he was. One, he's too busy. He's overwhelmed with everyone else. Where I'm at in life is not a good place, so God doesn't care about me. The when, like, no, right now, God doesn't care about my right now. No, God is very intentional with your right now. The who, everything that I'm surrounded with, the people, and I'm overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that's bad. No, and then what I have is not enough to meet the need at hand, the five loaves and two fish. You have all of these things. Have you ever heard of a perfect storm? Like, we know the miracle of the 5,000, the feeding of the 5,000, but we forget the little micro details of what made that miracle possible. And those little details weren't pretty. Those little details weren't full of possibility and promises that we think are awesome. No, it was the perfect storm. You know what the okay? You know what the perfect storm is for a miracle from God? Simply that, a storm. A storm. A storm. Do you find yourselves in storms sometimes? Emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, relationally, all aspects of your life, God cares about those. And those storms are actually making you a prime candidate for Jesus to walk on the water. Prime candidate. Have you heard that story, Jesus walking on the water? That made it that much more impressive. Not only was it water, like, who would have been satisfied and content with Jesus walked on water? Like, cool, still waters. I'll take any waters. 2 inches doesn't matter. It's the same miracle because that same 2 inches will cause me to sink as a 20-foot lake. Like, but you add a massive body of water with a storm that is causing the disciples to be full of fear and concern. And Jesus is walking on said storm. So how about we stop thinking that every storm is supposed to be stilled and silenced when some storms are meant to be slept through and walked on? Jesus didn't calm every storm, so quit trying to pray every storm away. Jesus didn't say, he did, who knows, Jesus did say, hey, if you have even the faith of the size of a mustard seed, that you can speak to that mountain in front of you, be cast into the sea. And what will it do? It will jump up from the ground and be cast into the sea. Absolutely. Jesus said, peace be still to the storm. But guess what? That same storm that he spoke to was the one that he walked on. The same storm that he spoke to in another scenario was the same one that he slept through. We get so stressed and try to micromanage the storms around us when it was never ours to manage. Jesus simply told the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side, and I'll meet you there. That's a promise that I'm willing to push through. He knew there was a storm coming. And I love this. In the book of Mark, we're so off notes. It's your fault. Y'all just want to hear the story. It's crazy. Is in the book of Mark, I love Mark's account of this story. Like, you know, do y'all know, most of y'all know the story. Jesus tells the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side. And the storm happens. This is where Peter walks on water. It's insane. It's a miracle. But I love this. Mark's account, it's so boss of Jesus. And we would get so offended with this statement. It said, Jesus walking on the water saw them and was going to walk by. Where's he going? Your boys are struggling right now. They're straining. They're rowing. Pastor Greg says they're strowing. Like, they're trying their very best. They're literally, with every effort, they're going backwards. Water's going left and right in the boat. Fish are probably slapping them in the face. Peter's trying to catch a few of them because he's, you know, trying to prove that he's a fisherman. That's what he does. No, how dare Jesus walk past my boat in a storm? How dare Jesus walk past my struggle? How dare Jesus walk past my pain? When he said, I'll always be with you. He was trying to teach them something that if I gave a promise, get in that boat, go to the other side, and I will meet you there. You should bank on that promise, come hell or high water, come storm or raging sea, come doubts or fears. You should trust that my word is better than your feelings. Because he knew, I'm not going to be with these guys forever. I'm about to die the death that I was called to die. And I will only be with them in spirit from here on out. And guess what? My word tells me that even greater faith do we have if we believe in him and don't even see him. So you You're like, man, if I could have just been there with Jesus when he was. Oh, no, you don't want to be there when he was there. You want to be here on this side of the cross, because this side of the cross, you have greater advantage, because Jesus said this, it's to your advantage. And that word still echoes today and speaks today. It's to your advantage that he went away, because if he goes away, he'll send another helper, the Holy Spirit. Be content that if you are in a boat and in a storm that Jesus told you to get in, that as long as the Holy Spirit's with you with inward peace and there's no storm, no conflict, no raging sea inside of you, it doesn't matter how much waves splash against you. Do you get the picture? That not every storm is meant to be silenced. Not every storm. As long as you have peace within your soul, bring the storms on. Because it's in the storms that Jesus walked on the water. It's in the storms that Peter walked on water. Yes, Jesus spoke peace to them. But you know why Jesus spoke peace to the storms? Because of their fear. We think, oh, if they would have just had faith. Yeah, if their faith could have spoke to the storms. But the real testing of their faith was to press through the storm, not to speak to the storm. We think everything has to be just taking authority. No, you need to have authority in you to press on. What Jesus saying? He said this. He said in the latter part of his ministry, he said, hey, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Yeah. Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's a pretty good promise, right? But why would we have need of endurance if there was absence of storm? Why would we have need of endurance if there wasn't a mountain to climb ahead? I promise you, yes, there's some mountains you should cast away, called the mountain of sin, the mountain of temptation, the mountain that's causing you to climb something out of selfish ambition and get away from God. But the mountain that you're called to climb, every mountain that a man of God climbed in the Bible, he had divine revelation and understanding of who Yahweh was. Don't be afraid to climb the mountain. That's where God is. That's where God is. Be okay with it. That the mountain doesn't move. Be okay with it that the storm doesn't cease. As long as inside of you there's peace and there's hope, there's endurance. Yeah, Jesus, he said, we were going somewhere with that. Jesus said he who endures to the end. It doesn't say this. It doesn't say he who encounters to the end. It doesn't say he who encounters me to the end, oh, they'll be saved. It doesn't say this. It doesn't say he who expects to the end, they'll be saved. No, because we build our relationship with God based off an encounter in an altar or our expectation of God moving one day. No, it says he who endures. He who endures. Because God's not always going to be, you're not always going to be in this altar. You're not always going to be overwhelmed with God's goodness. Tomorrow, you might be in a storm. You might be facing a mountain ahead of you. Endurance is needed to step into the manifestation of his provision. Amen? All right. Did not mean to hang tight on that. Y'all just obviously needed to hear that. Thank you for sticking with me on the first portion. All right, let's get through this. All right, so you have all of those things. The where was bad, the when was bad, the who was bad, the what was bad. But I love this. In verse 18, Jesus says, bring them here. He said that. Then he told them to get the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as the people wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Who loves leftovers? Say amen. Come on. Some food is better leftovers. It's crazy. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. There must have been a lot of children there and women, because they're like, we're not counting those. Sorry. Y'all all count, but the disciples were just... not saying dumb fishermen, but 4 of them were. Hey, Jesus, like, just give me an estimate. Matthew, rough estimate. Matthew was ready to count everyone because he was a tax collector. He didn't want anything to fall through the cracks. And he was stressed because he had to write this account. And he's like, but Jesus, there were more. Just 5,000, Matthew. That's impressive enough. Okay, son. These things, I don't know if they happened, but they could have happened. So not banking on it, but we'll find out one day. Who hopes that we get to see all these things in heaven, like on this, like just virtual thing of like this. So cool. That'd be great. Anyway. All right. So those 5 things could keep you from trusting him as provider. We're going to go into 5 truths that will make you trust the provider. 5 truths. You can turn with me to Philippians 4:19. And as you do that, I'm going to drink some water. So don't look at me, please. If you don't have a Bible, just act like you're flipping. Madison's looking at me. while you're turning there, on the impossibilities of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, I had this thought that many times we think our man's metrics have to line up for God's miracles to happen. Yeah. The metrics of man will never line up with God's miracle. Right. You can't thank God in. You can't thank him out. He simply is who he is. Yeah. Get rid of your calculations of how God should move and simply trust that God needs to move. Right. And God wants to move for you and on your behalf. Amen. Amen. All right, so Philippians 4:19. We're going to read this one verse, and there's 5 points within this verse. It says, and my God, say my God, says my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I love that verse. We could stay there the rest of the time because we are. We're going to stay there the rest of the time. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the first point is this. It's going to be found in the first statement. My God. Say my God. My God. So these are 5 truths that will make you trust simply this, the provider in heaven, your provider. Remember this, we're not talking about just financial blessing. We're talking about every blessing you need pertaining to life and godliness that is stored up with you, for you in the scriptures to manifest here on earth. Because if it's written in scripture, it wasn't meant to manifest in heaven one day. It was given to us now not to read in heaven. It was given to us now to read now. And if it says it, you can believe it. If it says it, you can speak it. If it says it, you can pray it. If it says it, you can live off of it. So the word of God is what we need to tap into. But my God is a provider with a promise. He's your God. He's specifically your God. He's not just a God that will show up for them. He's a God that wants to show up for you. He's your God. Say, my God. Not their God, not his God. No, he's my God. He's a provider with promise. This is crazy. Some of you will hear me in this because this is me to a T. God is not sitting there trying to come up with a spontaneous business plan to supply your need or start a GoFundMe because your need's greater than what he has stored up. Yeah. God is not sitting there. He's a provider with a promise. Yeah. And this is what Numbers 23:19 says about God, your provider. He says, God is not a man. Say, praise God. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not a human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Can you answer me that? No, he hasn't. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? No, God is a provider tagged along with a promise. He's not just a provider because he could be a provider and be stingy and provide for some and not provide for others and provide for when he feels like it or when he's and whenever the metrics line up. I'm thankful there's no recession. There's no changing in gas prices in the kingdom of God. Say amen. Hallelujah. Come on. No, there's no change and fluctuation in the currency of heaven. God is not waiting for the stock market to line up to meet your miracle. And you know what you need to stop doing? Then quit trying to say, oh, well, I'll start giving when it lines up with my metrics. I'll get, because look, it does not make sense. 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000. That wouldn't have been enough for the 4 fishermen. Right. They knew that that was what their mom or their wife packed them for that day on the lake to fish with their father. Yeah. That was not enough, but it doesn't matter. Right. God simply tells us to empty our hands regardless of it making sense. Yeah. It doesn't have to make sense to us. It did not make sense for me to do so many things 2 and 3 years ago that it did not make sense naturally. And what God has allowed us by his grace and his open doors and me humbling myself and getting corrected left and right by the word of God, the spirit of God, and by men of God in my life is I had to do things that did not make sense naturally. I'm talking about physical things in the business. It did not line up. It didn't make sense. It seemed foolish, but it worked. Because guess what? It was tied to obedience. I had a word, like, get in the boat, go to the other side, and I'll be with you there. I had a word, and I trusted that word, and I lived out that word to the best of my ability, and God showed up more than I could have ever imagined. Be willing to release to him what's in your hands, because I'll say it again, God may tell you to empty your hands, but he will never leave you empty-handed. He may tell you to empty yourself, but he'll fill you with himself. And that's a good trade-off, right? Who here sometimes gets just sick and tired, not of them, but of you? Why can't I change? Why can't I get over this issue? Why can't I silence the thoughts? Why can't I? You don't have to. You can release it to God and empty yourselves of yourself, and God will help you in the midst of it. So he's your provider with promise. He's not a man that he should lie. So here's the deal. There may be 1,000 times that what you prayed never happened, but there's not one time who you prayed to failed. Not there may be 1,000 prayers you could go through the history of your life. Maybe just 10 and say, God didn't answer those prayers, but there's not one prayer that he wasn't still God. My faith is not based off what I get from him. My faith is based off who he is. I'm not just waiting for him to, he's got to prove himself to me first. He doesn't have to earn that. No, he's just worthy of it. And the more I convince myself of it, the more I'll walk in it. The moment we don't think God can or will provide for us is the moment we step into being negative and frustrated when God provides for someone else. Oh, he's what? Your God. We'll get to that. He's their God. And whenever we keep saying, he'll do it for them, but not for me, well, then all of a sudden judge their blessing. Yeah. We'll start saying, it's just a part of that prosperity gospel. Yeah. Once again, we're not talking about just finances. We're talking about every aspect of life. Yeah. Get in heaven broke, and at least you're in heaven. Because Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. But that doesn't mean, in the South, we think, that means if they're rich, they're not getting to heaven. Jesus never put a number on it. This is my belief. Do you have my wallet on me? Let's go. All right. I've got some cash. What's this? That's $1 right there. All right. What's this? That's $100. Is there a difference between these two? Here's the deal. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. We think this. Jesus is also talking about this. Because guess what? I can be held bound by $1 and think, oh my goodness, that's what it is, yeah. Bound by money. Yeah. Or I can have this loosely, yeah, and it not affect me. Yeah. Jesus could care less if someone has $1 billion as long as they have him and he has them. Yeah. But you can have negative $10 in your bank account and totally miss God. Yeah. Jesus never talked about a specific number. He talked about a heart issue. Yeah. A heart issue. So quit judging someone else's blessing saying, no. I'd be like, hey, not can I have some, but how'd you get there? Yeah. How'd you get there? What? Tell me the story. Tell me the pain. Tell me the storms you had to go through. Yeah. All right, we're going to set aside the financial part. I think you get the picture. All right. So there's not a moment God has failed. So God is a provider with promise. He's your God. Say, my God. So it says, my God. Number two, it says, my God shall supply. Shall supply. He's a provider with preparation. Not only is a provider with a promise, he's a provider with preparation. He's not making provisions off the fly, kind of tying it down. He's not coming up with a spontaneous plan thinking, oh, snap, they've got to pay a bill. Gabriel, what's in the account? We got to make sure this check doesn't bounce. Like, have you ever, we're not going to name any names. I've done it accidentally. I didn't check the, I didn't know what was coming out of the account. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't the best business owner. Write a check and you're like, oh snap, I thought it was in there. Hey, can you hold it till tomorrow? Like, I thought they paid me. It didn't come in yet. Didn't check the account. Got ambitious in the signature, right? All of a sudden, it doesn't matter about my signature on the check. It matters about what that check represents is in the account. And guess what? Is God can write any amount of check for you. I'm not just talking about financially, every aspect of life, spirit, soul, and body. He can write it in heaven and he signs it. And what's that signature? It's the Holy Spirit. It's a seal of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise from God saying that what I release from heaven, I'm good for. And it's not going to bounce. But we think God's blessings are going to hit us and just bounce right off. And the reason they bounce right off is because we're closed off to what that blessing might look like. Or what that blessing may require to attain and achieve. Because it's going to bounce off if we're restricted and closed off to God. Yeah. Oh, but it'll be received every time if we're open to God. Yeah. Amen? He's a provider with preparation. I love it. It says shall. He shall supply. We will always question if God will, if we do not know God's will. Yeah. You'll question God's will every time if you simply don't know God's will. And what better place to know his will than to get into the provisions of his word. The provisions of his word. His word is the provision you need. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You don't need God to speak again if you haven't listened to what he spoke already. God does speak. Praise God. He speaks to me a lot. Most of the time because I'm doing something. No, I'm kidding. No. He speaks to me in conviction, in help, in wisdom, in understanding scripture. He gives me things to do and what not to do. He speaks to me even if my eyes aren't crossing the doorstep of his scripture, but never in a way that opposes his scripture. And most of the time he speaks to me on something that I already read. That's how it works. So you will question God's will, or if God will provide, if you don't know God's will for your life. Get to the provisions of the word. And I think many times this, we question, back to the question of God, is have y'all ever, I don't know if we do this anymore, now we prank call. Judah DeVries prank calls me all the time. Or Bethel, I don't know which one it is, both of them. So they prank call nowadays. But back then, have you know, any ding-dong ditchers in the room? You know what I mean? Anybody roll yards? We're on the Sand Mountain, baby. We know how to roll some yards. We don't TP yards, we roll yards. Like, what do you mean TP? We're not putting up a TP for like Indians to camp out. We roll the yard. Man, some stories. No, is ding-dong ditch. What we many times I think we ding-dong ditch God with our prayers. We see, oh, we're on the property of a provider. We start stepping on the doorstep of provision and knock on a door that's the way that we need. And we knock on it 1, 2, 3 times, and we hear footsteps behind the door, afraid that we're going to get caught because we need something, and we run off the property of our provider. And he opened the door not to chew us out. He opened the door to welcome us in. How often do we do that? We think our prayers are bothering God. No, that is your only avenue to God, is praying to him. Amen. He's a provider with preparation. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says this. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love him. God has made great preparation for you. But the blinders of your life from seeing that provision is loving something else. It says, God has prepared those things for those who love him. God's prepared something for everyone, but only those who love him walk in that revelation of those, the preparation. We need to love God properly. I said properly, not perfectly. Only God's love is perfect. My love can be flawed. There's times where I don't love properly, but God's love is perfect, and I learn from that perfect love. Amen? Make sure I don't forget that $100 bill, by the way, guys. Please. I need a way home. Gas. No, I'm kidding. Psalms 23:5. I love this. This is David speaking about God. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So what's the revelation of preparation of God's table? There has to be the presence of enemies. Yeah. Going back to the storm. Yeah. The perfect storm is the storm. The perfect opportunity to feast at God's table is when there's enemies all around you. I'm just so depressed. I'm not going to say praise God, but praise God. Because only those that are depressed get delivered into the joy of the Lord. Yeah. I'm going through it. There's chaos left and right. Sorry to, you know, throw off your religious mindset, but I'm stressed and I'm chaotic. Praise God. Because now you can understand a peace that surpasses understanding. Yeah. Man, I just feel hated. I feel hated. People hate me. Praise God. Now you get to understand a love that covers a multitude of sins. No matter what you did, God's love will cover you. I go down the list. Man, we just don't have enough to make ends meet. Praise God. Now God can meet you where you're at. Do you get the picture? He's that kind of provider. Not stingy, not rejecting, not waiting for you to get your act together. He's waiting for you to open your mouth and present to him the need that's at hand. And being willing to release unto him anything that's in your hand, so then he can release everything that's in his hand. That's the key. That's the way to stepping into him as provider in every aspect of your life. God's blessings, God's preparation goes beyond a paid bill, a full meal. It's not just finances. It's every aspect of your life and the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. So if he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, then that means there's two meals probably in front of us. If the enemy knows God is preparing a meal, then don't you think he will try to tempt us with other food that appeals to our fleshly appetite and taste buds? Not only is the table prepared, I love this, it's prepaid. And what I love about this is Jesus, he's so cool. It's insane. He's crazy in the world, in what we, with this generation, oh, crazy, crazy is good to them. It's wild. But Jesus set the table. Jesus made the table because he was a carpenter, probably. And, you know, he probably made the table. Jesus cooked the food. Jesus is seated at the table. He's waiting at the table. And guess what? He is the food on the table. He's everything in the presence of our enemies. But many times we are more satisfied with what the enemy is putting before us, called fast food, that's cheap, quick, and easy, and meets our convenience and our own metrics and time frame. And we feast on the things that are causing us to be in a valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. Don't try to get out of the valley. Try to get to the table. Yeah. You're trying to run from the valley, and then you're running from the table. Because it's in the presence of an enemy that God's presence is even stronger. Because my Bible tells me this: greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But if I try to run from that which is in the world and flee from it to get to a perfect place of safety, then I'm not tapping into the greatness that God has put inside of me, called him, the Holy Spirit. If a musician, if Dale, you could come join me. I've got three more points, but we've got to wrap up. And him playing will help us get through the 3 points. It actually helps you receive it faster, which is will help me preach faster. Amen. All right. Number 3. 1 and 2 says, my God shall supply. Number 3 is all your needs. So not only is God a provider with a promise, he's a provider with preparation. He is your personal provider. Your personal provider, not a general provider, an intentional provider. And what is, if he's a personal provider, don't you think you need to get real and honest with your personal needs? It's going to be easy, It's easy to not own up to the need, but it's easy to claim the provision. Yeah. It's easy to not own up to the need, but you will quickly claim the provision that God blesses you with. It's like, oh, card declined. You're not in the store saying, hey, everybody, my card just declined. I don't have enough money. Like, that's the most embarrassing. It's happened to me. And sometimes it's like I have 3 or 4 different accounts with business and personal and all that. And I just didn't transfer. And there's sometimes where it's like, oh, I just didn't have it. But no, like, I'll do it. And I'm like, let me transfer really quick and I'll just do it. Yeah, it's in another account, right? No, you don't proclaim and praise, hey, I don't have enough. But what do you do when you do have enough? What do you do whenever all of a sudden the miracle happens? You start parading it. What if we got more vocal about the need that's at hand and got more silent when provision came? Give God praise, absolutely, but let the provision speak for itself. Not having to prove, but simply live in provision. He's your personal provider. Matthew 6:8. Pastor Madison covered it. Matthew 6:33. It was already sung in the song. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to who? You. You. Matthew 6:8, your father knows what you have need of before you even ask. That's not justification to not ask. That's confidence to ask. Meaning, I love this, it's not justification. God already knows what I have need of before I even ask. So now I have justification to not ask. No, I now have bold confidence that I can ask and he can interpret based off my unpolished words. The prayer doesn't have to be pretty or perfect. It has to be real, humble, broken, and honest with what's at hand. And he knows how to interpret all languages, all things that are confusing, because he's the God that made all languages. That's why it's good to know he knows what I have need of before I ask. Because now I can ask him knowing he'll understand even the tears of the broken. Sometimes the best prayers are the ones that are just tears speaking. Because my God doesn't reject the one that's contrite and broken. He receives them. He receives them. On not being specific with our prayers, many times, have you heard the term beating around the bush? The first two people that didn't get real and honest with God and they We're going to flip the term because they didn't beat around the bush. They hid behind a bush. It's called Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam and Eve after they sinned saying, God, where are you? And how often is that the prayer of this generation and our world? God, where are you? I thought you were a provider. I thought you were a healer. When the first time there was a question of where are you, it wasn't man saying, where are you to God? It was God saying, where are you? They're hiding. They're beating around the bush. They're hiding behind their sin. When God was still ready to be there for them and with them. Number four, you can stand to your feet. So you have God that is a provider that's personal. He's a provider with preparation. He's a provider with provision. Number four, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He's a powerful provider. He's not a weak provider. There's no fluctuation in heaven's currency. And God is not looking at the stock market to see if he should provide or if he should wait or if he should pull the plug or if he should send provision. He's not looking at the housing market to see if he should prepare a place for you. He's not looking at gas prices to see if he should respond to your emergency. God is rich and God is rich in mercy, according to Ephesians 2:4. And do you not believe it? Are you not totally convinced that in God's presence is what? Half joy? Sometimes joy? Though a fullness of joy. You need a provision of joy this morning? It's simply in his presence. You don't have to pray against the thing that's causing a lack of joy, your enemies. Because in your presence of your enemies, God has prepared a table. And on that table is a feast full of joy. In God's presence, there's a fullness of joy. I'm thankful God can't go bankrupt like a banker. I'm thankful God has everything I have need of. And it's not, he doesn't just have it, he's ready to meet it. Hebrews 1:3 about God being a powerful provider. It says the Son radiates God's own glory, meaning Jesus, and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, now to him, oh, we love this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In closing, point number five. It ends the verse in Philippians 4. It says, by Christ Jesus. You serve a perfect provider. A perfect provider. He's not flawed in his provision. He's not sending ripped up bills that can't be received by the cash drawer. No, God is a perfect provider. Jesus, you know, going back to the beginning, is we talked about the different names of God, and I call you Savior, I call you Healer, and how God is not taking off certain name tags to put on the other one that's needed at hand. Jesus is all these things at the same time. Jesus is a perfect provider. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the great physician. He's the bread of life. He's living water. He's the spotless lamb. And if he can pay for the weight of your sin, then surely he can provide all that you have need of on this life and preserve your life for the life to come. You know, we'll come to realize that Jesus doesn't just provide, but he is provision. Can we change our prayers from praying, God, I need provision, instead we pray, God, I need you? Can we change our prayers and saying, God, I need healing, instead say, God, I need the healer? Can we stop praying prayers saying, God, I need peace, instead we start praying prayers of, God, you're the Prince of Peace, simply come and be with me. God, I just need joy. No, God, I need your presence. We pray about what makes sense to us, and we calculate who he is out of the equation. Who wants God in your situation? Who wants God in your storm? Who wants God in your circumstance? Who wants God in every aspect of your life? You'll find provision. You'll find the provider in desperate times. You'll find provision in desperate times when you have nothing else to offer except you. And God's like, I'll meet you in desperation. God will meet you in desperation, but you'll stay with God in discipline. And then you'll get to know God and desire. So I'm calling us, every one of us, in this moment, not to just know that He's a provider when we're desperate. He's a provider when we just continue to seek Him. And He'll give us things beyond what we even needed. Because what it say, my God will do abundantly and exceedingly above all we ask, think, or imagine. And we will only have a little bit if we stick with our relationship out of desperation. Just enough to get us out of the water. But you know what Peter did? He wasn't just excited to get out of the water by the hand of Jesus, because Peter was desperate when he began to sink. I guarantee you he wanted him to stay in the boat. I guarantee you he stuck really close to Jesus after that moment out of discipline and desire, because he would have died, drowned, and been suffocated by the water. But God reached down his hand and received Peter back up into the boat. So you can close your eyes, you can bow your heads. Father, I thank you for your word that is rich. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is available. I thank you that there's not a need in this room, physically, spiritually, emotionally, that you cannot meet and that you're not aware of. And I thank you right now that you are waiting for their mouth to open up and speak what they have need of. So this morning, just a quick response to the Lord. Most importantly, an open heart. But if that's you and anything this morning spoke to an area of your life where you've been, where you are, or where you might be going, of needing to be totally convinced that He is your provider in every aspect of your life, I just encourage you to lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. Remember, God may tell you to empty your hands, but He'll never leave you empty-handed. And some of you in here, you're like, okay, but what, like, God, I am receiving God's blessing, and guess what now you need to do? Be a blessing. Because God's blessing was never meant to be contained, but released. So, Father, right now, I pray over your people. May they be abundant with wealth, with health, with wisdom, all things pertaining to life and godliness. May they tap into a source that is never cut off, a stream that constantly flows, a heart that is always loving, a ear that is always attentive, an eye that always sees, a hand that is always willing, and feet that are ready to run to our case and receive us up into glory, not just in heaven one day, but this day. May we advance your kingdom by the provision that you give us in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do this really quickly, because I want to give people that want to respond an opportunity. So if you want to respond to that and you want prayer, I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and make your way up here, Pastor Cody. And then I know there's some people that are assigned for prayer this morning, but if anybody you want prayer specifically, you can go ahead and make your way up here. You need provision emotionally, you need provision physically, you need healing. I would like, is Brandon in here? Brandon, I'd like to pray over you this morning. Cody, if you don't mind anointing him with oil. Becky, will you get that for him? We're going to pray over Brandon. He's just had some stuff going on. But if anybody else would like to respond, spirit, soul, and body, you need, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You may not get it if you don't. Sometimes God wants you to be willing to make a public proclamation. So if you need agreement in prayer, anybody, you, and if you just want to come to the altar, you can. I'm not going to prolong it. I'll wait a few more minutes. Yes. Jaker, we'd love to pray over Melissa. If you want to wait just a moment, we'll have you right here. After. And actually, I'm going to pray over the mic for Melissa. Jaker's wife, Melissa, is stuck in Guatemala. She's not been able to get up or eat or anything. And so we're going to just pray right now for them, that she'd be healed and she'd get home. So if you want to stretch your hands in this direction, Father, we reach our hands in the direction of Jaker right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray healing to Melissa. You know exactly what's going on inside of her body, her organs, Lord, whatever it is, her liver, her kidneys, her pancreas. God, we ask all of her body to come into alignment. We ask that you would bring total healing you provided healing on the cross. You sent your word and healed us. So we pray right now that your healing power would come into her body, bring her complete comfort, strength, peace, relaxation where she hasn't even probably been able to rest. We ask rest for her body. We ask strength for Jaker, that you would give him encouragement in his soul, that you would give him peace and grace through this. We pray your provision over them, that every single thing that they have need of, hospital bills, travel, whatever is needed, we ask for the provision, the provider to step into the situation and provide every single thing that is needed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're going to wait a couple. I'm going to go ahead and pray, but Renee and Pastor Bonnie will be up here for anyone that wants prayer after service. Pastor Cody, thank you very much. That, I'm amazed at the confirmation of God. That was just, that was God on display. From the songs to the transition to the word, God was making some things known. So I would encourage you to probably just go back and listen to it again, because he's obviously trying to get something through to us. Thank you very much. That was obviously timely. If you would, raise your hands to receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he write his name all over you. And may you not just know, but may you believe and walk in that he is your provider, and he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week.